Log Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Join us for another hour of light, inner-style discussion and learning as we nosh on current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That was 646-727-3206. Or go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So as we get started with the show, please welcome our diners as they introduce themselves to you now.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gloria. Hi. This is Robin Masevich. I'm going to be the hostess with the mostest on some of the evening tonight, and I just welcome everyone who's listening in tonight. Also wanted to remind you one more time, if you want to go ahead and go to be able to do the live blocking, we'd love to be able to check with you that. Ms. Kathy, will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Kathy Elliott. I will be on the switchboard tonight, and the chat room is open, so feel free to come on in, and we're going to have a great show tonight.
Okay, and Mr. Jamie, will you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a tattoo artist, and I own a shop in Seattle, Washington for the last 13 years. And I read the paper a lot and watch TV, so I think I'm informed, but who knows?
I think he's totally informed, and actually I told him he was our media specialist, because this guy loves to read the paper and keep up with everything. So he's just the man for us, because there you go.
I certainly try.
Yeah, and we appreciate you, Mr. Jamie. Okay, we've got all kinds of things we're going to be talking about tonight, and first up we're going to be covering a couple appetizers, one of which was I had got an article recently that was talking about the earth chakras. One thing we really like to do on the show is talk about any kind of earth movement that's happening, and since our first show, we've talked about tsunamis and a couple other ones, especially starting with Haiti and then also with Chile. And then last week, we were talking about the volcanic eruption up in Iceland. So along with that, there's been some different things that we've been researching on our own to kind of get a feel for what's really happening on a scientific level and also on a spiritual level. And there's a couple different sites that we've been kind of passing back and forth. In any of this stuff that you guys are interested in, go ahead and let us know through the messaging, or if you want to jump on the table, we can go ahead and pull up a chair and you guys can come on in and talk about it too. But there's different vortexes that are affecting the planet as well, and it's a very interesting to see how the volcanoes and the eruptions and earthquakes are in these areas where the vortexes seem to be showing themselves on the planet. And this is coming from an article that I had that was talking about the ley lines of energy that intersect the various points on the earth. And the first chakra, there's seven different chakras that are earth chakras. One is at Mount Shasta, that's in Northern California. The second is at Lake Titicaca, which is in South America. If I botched these, you guys, anybody on the table, you can correct me. That's okay.
That would be Titicaca.
Titicaca. And the third chakra is Yolura Katai, and that's in Utah in Australia. And I'm sure I really didn't say that one very well. The fourth chakra is resides at Glastonbury in England. Is that really close to Stonehenge? Does anybody know? Glastonbury, is that near Stonehenge?
Hey, is Glastonbury?
Maybe have Miss Gloria check on that. She's really good about being able to check things on while we're on.
I asked my companion here, and she said it is indeed close to Stonehenge.
So isn't that interesting? Yeah, that Glastonbury is near Stonehenge. And then the fifth chakra is at the Great Pyramid in the Mount of Olives. And that's, I think, a Mountain of Olives is very interesting. Gloria, did you say something?
Well, I was just going to say that in England, everything is close to everything. So.
Of course.
Of course.
That's true.
Stonehenge is just a stone throw away. Okay, everything. Okay, there we go. And then the seventh chakra is in Mount Kalalas in Tibet. So we have Tibet, we have Iran, we have the pyramids of Mount Olive. And if you look at the significance between just on a spiritual level, some of these places as places that really hold a lot of spiritual energy, spiritual knowledge, as well as major landmarks on the earth. It's very, very interesting. It says, in addition to the seven chakras, there's minor chakras that are also known as vortexes of energy that can be significant to the energy systems on the planet, and all these energy systems need caretaking. So it really goes back to us knowing that, you know, as we are very conscious of the way that we're treating the earth and loving the earth, that it's really going to be supporting us as well, and it goes back to, you know, the minor adjustments that things are happening on the planet and just being really significant with that. So I just thought that was really interesting. Any of you guys want to comment on any of that? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so if Earth has seven chakras and we have seven chakras, does that mean that the tree outside in my yard has seven chakras? The blade of grass in my lawn has seven chakras?
Well, and if you think of the Bible as above, so below, I would say so.
Yeah.
You know, as within,
so
as within,
everywhere.
So without. Yeah, so we're talking on a micro, macro level, absolutely. And aren't
that's
we fortunate that we can see that, you know?
Quite
well,
a
you
bit
know,
of chakras,
oh, go ahead.
There's a study on that was different research that's been done on different religions and different belief systems. When you ask about the chakra systems within things that most people consider to be inanimate, there's energy that flows through everything because everything is energy. All the molecules
mm-hmm.
have an energetic component. So there's an ancient religion that's called animism, and it
mm-hmm.
believes that everything has a soul. So this is different than the energetic system. But if you
mm-hmm.
look at it, you're going to have centers of energy within an inanimate object unless it's growing and there's a life force in it
mm-hmm.
to the level where it's expanding and growing. Like if it were a
mm-hmm.
rock, I would say no, it doesn't. But
mm-hmm.
it's still going to have meridians and different ley lines
mm-hmm.
just because it's the structure that has energy.
But in saying that a rock wouldn't necessarily have energy, I mean, a lot of people would say that crystals and emeralds and things like that contain energy. So how would that be different than just, say, a regular, you know, river rock?
No, I didn't say energy. I said that they have energy, and yet they don't have necessarily a chakra.
Okay, okay.
Because they're still comprised of
okay.
energetic moving molecules, so it has energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that if I'm making an assumption here on the
mm-hmm.
items such as plants
mm-hmm.
that would have an energy based upon the living aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you also look at the chakras, most people focus on the main seven that they talk about that are visible in the human body. Yet there are, I'm looking at different chakras, even on, if you look at a number line, on a negative standpoint, because
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a chakra on your soul
mm-hmm.
that before it enters the human body. So
mm-hmm.
that would be more of a negative number, and zero would be below in your thighs, in the area where your thighs touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you continue on up. And so when you go up into the areas that are beyond the human body and you're going into the etheric bodies, that are outside of your physical human body, you still have chakra points as they continue up to the monad level and on up onto creator. So each level of your etheric being has another chakra. And
mm-hmm.
then you have all of your multiple mini chakras, mini as in M-I-N-I, as well as
mm-hmm.
M-A-N-Y,
that
mm-hmm. you can find through acupuncture within the meridian crosses.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're just one giant chakra. What can I say? Just like the planet's one giant chakra. So there we go. Yeah, I know that they're on the 10th chakra, depending on what philosophy you look at with the different cultures, that like the 10th chakra in some of the cultures is considered the earth chakra. And it grounds us to the earth and connects us to the planet and comes pretty much from our essence. It's pretty much known as the star chakra. So that's definitely something that's there. And some of the more advanced ones that have more expanded ones besides going over seven, I know for sure that there's two or three that have at least 12 chakras, if not more. So, you know, I totally agree with what, you know, Gloria's kind of expanding on what this article said. I thought it was just real interesting how, you know, in just looking at the planet and then looking at those areas on the planet, it's almost instead of having it at the equator, it's almost taking it the other direction. So that would be interesting
yeah.
to kind of put all those together and see how they would line up with going the opposite direction. Instead of having a waistline, it's working from the poles instead. So that's pretty interesting. James, did you have something you were going to say?
Did we have an appetizer coming out?
Tonight.
Yeah, he's always good about the appetizer. What do you think we should have tonight?
That's definitely a lot to digest right there. I feel like having energy, though, because especially positive, and I could definitely feel that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, how about some little those little mini burritos, maybe, with, like, some guacamole? How's that sound to you guys? You know, we could do something a little more on the, you know, have something like that.
Well, we haven't had that before, so that sounds good.
That sounds good?
Okay.
We could have a couple. What else should we have? What do you think?
What are the little, not chalupas, taquitos? How about some of those, too?
Taquitos, or we could have their, that's kind of like burritos. We could do, like, bruschetta. How about bruschetta?
Okay.
Did you hear the hot cinnamon cheese dip? How about that?
Oh, we could do that too. Let's do the dip. I think we should do the dip. So, you know, hey.
Yeah.
No, but there's no double dipping, right? Okay, we're going to get
no double dipping.
Course.
Okay.
No double dipping. Although, you know, they have done studies with that, and they actually say that it doesn't really contaminate the dip to double dip. So they
kind of
blew through that out. Yeah, they've done. Well, if you never do the one with Mythbusters did a test on that one time, and they discovered that it really doesn't affect your whatever
cool.
you're dipping. Yeah, so you know, double dipping, you know, especially among friends, it's
explain
good.
Explain that
like,
to
whatever.
Everyone else at the party.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're double dipping. Okay. Okay, and Jamie had a update for us on the Iceland volcanic eruption, which is really interesting. So, Mr. Jamie.
Well, the update isn't really. Is so much concerning the volcanic activity, but it's more of a eruption of tourism to the volcano in Iceland.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I know,
Since it's something that's relatively newer and hasn't erupted in over 200 years, there's been quite an upsurge in people wanting to visit. So they have to... They're on a tour of some sort, and they either offer it from a helicopter, or you could take a jeep, or sightseeing, basically. And it's quite pricey, but I guess such a event kind of warrants that type of attention. But definitely, there is a it's still a thing, but it hasn't really gone any further, so that's good.
So if we have any listeners, if we have any listeners out there who are just going to like take advantage of that and go to Iceland, you know, call us back and let us know how that went. I'd love to get an update on that. You know, we've got Mr. Al Diaz every once in a while. He goes over to the Big Island when he does his stuff. So hey, anybody who wants to go out there to check out the volcanic eruption, I think that would be really awesome. You know, even if you want to like call us while you're there, we'll love to, you know, just take you right away for a phone call. That's pretty cool.
They said the best time is at night as well, because that's
because you get to see all the lights and the lava and all that kinds of stuff. So that's
right.
Pretty awesome. That, yeah.
I actually looked at a couple of clips on the internet there, and it was quite spectacular, but I guess the size is just, you can't really appreciate the size until you see it. But again,
Do we know if it's getting bigger? Because they had said last week that they were anticipating that it was going to get larger. So was that true, or where are they at with is it almost kind of staying constant?
The only newer thing I found was that they were indeed, it was safe enough to offer tours, and they didn't have an update, and I really haven't seen anything else on the mainstream news, but I did check the internets and the interwebs, and nothing really new other than what has been reported previously when it did erupt.
Yeah.
But it's new, and I guess if it was something occurring, it would definitely be in the news.
So nobody's, I guess the people had been evacuated, they're not going to have them evacuated anymore. Go Gloria.
I think they evacuated who they did, and then I don't know after that.
Okay.
We
have, go ahead, Gloria.
Two callers on the line.
Okay. Hi, caller.
Area code 909-842.
Okay. Hi, caller. Do you want to introduce yourself?
And area code 909-544. Those are the area code and prefix of your phone number.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, how are you?
Tracy Riddle.
Hi, Miss Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
How's it going? Have you been listening to our conversation?
I'm just listening to the show and enjoying it. I have no comment other than cool.
Well, cool. Cool is very good, especially when we're talking about volcanic eruptions. Cool is very welcome. So there you go. And I see. I think I'm not sure on the other 909, the 842. I'm not sure who that is, but we welcome them, and we're glad you guys are here. And if you guys just want to hang on the table, and just if you feel like you want to make a comment, just say, "Hey, Robin," and you know, you're totally welcome to anything that you want to go ahead and add to the conversation. We welcome your perspective. So that's really cool. So thank you for joining us tonight.
You got it.
Hey, Jamie.
It's okay to double dip if you want.
Yeah, double dipping is allowed, and we have our dip, and we've got those little mini burritos. So you guys go ahead and help yourselves, because, you know, our whole thing is, like, if you join the table, we're sharing our food with you. So that's all cool. Okay, so our next thing we're going to go ahead and talk about was another thing that I had come over the Internet was there's been an acronym that's been out for quite a while on FEAR, which was false evidence appearing real. And I got one the other day that I thought was very interesting. It was talking about fear, but it said that it's fictitious evidence affecting reality. And, wow, just the difference between appearing real and affecting reality, I really wanted to maybe put that out for all of our diners tonight. And personally, I was thinking about last week we'd shared a little story about we were talking about conscious innovation and, you know, dealing with all of our cell phones and all that stuff and Twittering. And there was an incident that I'd noticed on the news that somebody had Twittered in some city, and a whole bunch of kids came down to the downtown area, and there were so many kids that it was pretty much on the verge of a riot situation. So it's you know, and there wasn't any kind of a party or anything, but the kids just, you know, it really got out of hand for the police, and everybody got a little rowdy, I guess, with the whole thing. So this whole fictitious evidence about affecting reality is, so one person says, hey, there's a hot party, and everybody comes down to check it out without really knowing what's going on. So I just wanted to see what you guys were thinking about that, kind of this new sense of looking at fear from a different perspective. Anybody want to jump on that?
It could harken to, you know, when they had these flash mobs, and that was kind of within the last, well, when the early development of cell phones, where they would, the anonymous people would gather and do whatever this, or have a pillow fight, or stand still, or jump up and down, and
mm-hmm.
then disappear.
So they were taking the direction off of somebody else. Somebody would say
yeah.
something, as almost like, you know, Simon Says.
But it wasn't so much in a vindictive way or trying to incite a crowd or anything.
Okay. That's kind of interesting. And I actually could kind of go into our main topic tonight, our main course. But maybe we'll sit with that a little bit. Gloria, do you have anything you want to share about that?
Which one? The fear?
The fear, the false fictitious evidence affecting reality.
Right. Well, I know that we had talked about it earlier, and based upon what we say on a conscious level, people are very unaware of their choice of words.
Mm-hmm.
So just
mm-hmm.
beyond reporting inaccurately, if you are not aware of the words you choose to use, you can create a framework for someone's reality. That reality can then lead to a conscious manifestation or an unconscious manifestation based upon that person continuing to think about the words that were anchored into their minds. And
mm-hmm.
it can be the simplest of words. As the example that I gave you earlier, when I broke my ankle, the physician that I had, the surgeon that was examining me, did a great job, awesome surgeon. And when he finished and we were complete, and as he was saying goodbye, he proceeded to tell me that I would always have arthritis in my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you analyze that statement, it would be a false statement, because
mm-hmm.
I had broken the two bones that are approximately 4 to 6 inches above the ankle, and I
mm-hmm.
had broken a bone that is in the foot. Nothing that I did affected any area near the ankle. Now, when you research arthritis, it is an aspect that affects the joint.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, it's joint.
Right, and so it's a totally
inaccurate statement. And for him to do that, he was putting into my mind, and I was still healing at the time, and so if someone is unaware of what they're doing, I was in a very susceptible state at that time. And knowing what I know, I was able to go back and analyze it and reject that thought. But many people look to people who are authority figures. And as we move into an age of reality television and we start looking at people reporting on the internet, it's been shown that women will take the advice of other women bloggers at face value 100% before they will take an advertiser. So when you have people who are not choosing the words they're using, perhaps don't really truly know the topic that they're speaking on, they're being viewed as authorities. And when we as an individual take what people are saying as coming from an authority, we can create a reality that is not beneficial to us just by somebody saying the wrong word and how we interpret it. And it's one of those things where consciousness of what you're saying and what you're hearing and critical thinking skills really need to be more employed. And in the U.S., we don't teach critical thinking skills to our population.
Yeah, she was sharing with me earlier that in France, that's just a regular part of the curriculum for all the students is to go into a critical thinking. Critical thinking and philosophy are the two different things that is just, so just a part of the teaching that, you know, all French people get for their education.
Well, up through at least the second year in college and university, they are required to take those courses.
Yeah, it's just part of their curriculum for graduation. So that's very interesting. Kathy, did you have anything you wanted to share on that?
Yeah, I'm just afraid. Sorry.
You what?
I'm afraid to say anything.
I'm afraid to say anything because you're just in this place of fear. Okay. You're afraid it's going to affect your reality? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid it'll affect my reality.
I don't know why, but when you said that, I was thinking of the Wizard of Oz with the lion. With the courage. That's not fear. That's courage. Yeah, that's very funny. It's like, oh,
that was
you know, the way you were just like going.
By the way.
Yes, it was it. Yeah, see, I'm afraid. Well, I just think this really this is such a nice little segue. It'll go straight into our main course for the cafe. And we were talking, when we're not on the air, we always, Gloria and Kathy and I and some, you know, Jamie, we just kind of throw some ideas around of different things that we find as interesting and just things that we want to bring back up on the air. And we go, gosh, we wish we would have had that recorded. That was a really great conversation. So one of the conversations we've been working with lately is the gift of permission and how we can give it to ourselves. And really just looking at, you know, personally, I've seen so many people that they look to another person before they do things that in their heart they know that that's something that they're being encouraged to do. So it's always like, do you think I should do that? Would that be something good for me to do? Instead of really trusting ourselves, we seem to come from a level of looking outside of ourselves, whether it be, you know, on a parental level or friends or colleagues or whatever, for that sense of acceptance and that sense of approval before we would go off and do something that really truly can empower us. So we wanted to kind of put that on the table. And I think fear really has an element to go with that, whether it's something that we just kind of see in society that we would want to go and try something or do something and we're afraid of how we're going to be accepted or not accepted by that, or even just, you know, looking at how other people have either been able to achieve success or and not have it be successful and wondering if we could do that as well. So I wanted to get you guys on the table to talk about that a little bit and where you guys have been with that. So anybody want to start that conversation on that?
I'd like to hear what well.
Go ahead.
I said I'd like to hear what Jamie has to say on that.
Okay, Jamie.
I think it depends on if you really care what other people think as far as your actions. Most definitely, I try to myself think before I speak and, you know, try to be rational and sane in dealing with things. But, you know, I guess it depends if you're you're taught to be reserved or polite or not caring about what other people think and just doing what you want to do, you know.
Yeah, that's something that I was really thinking about all this, is it really goes back to some, in such a strong sense of how you were raised and what kind of level of, you know, how much permission and control your parents really had on you when you were a child, and how that could be really affecting you on different levels.
Self-respect or just your self-image, I guess, or not having one, or, you know.
Yeah. So I think that's just something that it just sets such a tone for your life when you look at that on such a level. So, you know, and do we need
that's
someone to say yes, that's a good thing. So.
Well,
one of the things that I'd like to add to that is that it can go beyond our immediate life. Science has recently confirmed what some of the training that I'd had a while back that shows that around the DNA that, you know, you're familiar with DNA and how it designates, you know, the color of eyes, the color of hair. I mean, we're all taught this in school. Well, within the last couple of years, science has been able to catch up, and they have determined that the sheath, there's a thin type of a sheath that goes around the outside of the DNA strands, and they never really knew what that was for. And what it is the emotional DNA that is carried on along with the physical DNA. So the emotional aspect of needing permission and getting recognition and acknowledgement can also be affected based upon emotional aspects that our ancestors have experienced as well.
Okay, that makes sense.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's one thing that's just, that's, you know, over and over again, we're just seeing how science is really supporting everything on a spiritual level now. So when you really look at that stuff, and the chasm between science and spirituality is really just almost not even there anymore, depending on what subject we're looking at with that. So it's very interesting.
Definitely coming together. You know, you look at some of the work of McKeo is a physicist, and he was bringing science and physics together, and you have these studies on the biophysics and the quantum physics and the quantum biology, and they're all coming to that place. There's a book I picked up on the Akashic Records and science. And
like Greg Brady is doing a lot of work with things like that as well, you know, looking at just different levels of this kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of the levels of anthropology and spirituality, and then current science, and how everything's, you know, basically supporting one another. So it's just very, very cool. So Miss Kathy.
Well, all I know is that I give myself permission all the time. I give myself permission to jump into things, to taste new things, to have new experiences, and it's a lot of fun. And I think I give myself permission more than anyone else does that I know
in my
circle.
She's still even willing to share the less of last night guacamole with those mini burritos. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I've given the permission.
Yeah,
I'm giving myself permission to order white chicken chili for the main course.
Woo, okay. We got white chicken chili. Okay. And I know for dessert tonight they have a chocolate bud cake. And it's like, you know, one of those decadent chocolate cakes. And they've got strawberries still, because the strawberries right now with the springtime are just, wow, they're just awesome, awesome, awesome. And you can get them with whipped cream or with covered dipped in chocolate. And then we have... I know, huh? And then the nectarines and stuff are starting to come out, so we're they've got nectarine pie, like a cobbler, depending what we want to do on that. So we could start thinking about that, you know, while we're finishing up this main course. So, you know, it is always nice to get tempted before you have to decide, so that's kind of a good thing. So,
I've never heard of no nectarine cobbler, though. I don't know.
You've never heard of a nectarine cobbler?
Yeah.
It's very popular in California.
Out.
Yeah, we have, especially
in
Southern California, they have nectarines, and nectarines are like peaches.
Yeah,
it's like a peach. They're peachy.
Oh.
But everybody around here says nectarini. It's a nectarini kind of thing.
A nectarini, huh? That sounds like a drink.
Nect- nectarini.
Yeah.
Instead of a martini, it's a nectarini.
That's right.
Well, I'm sure somebody's invented that too.
That
hey, I'll have a nectarini. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't ordered drinks yet, have we?
No, well, the first show we had sangria, which was that was my favorite. So I like the fruity wine, so that's always kind of good. So, yeah, if anybody wants to get some wine, we could even do an after dinner wine if you guys want. That might
yeah.
be nice for the dessert. So, yeah. Hey, be thinking about that, really good too. Well, and then part with the whole thing with the main course too, with that gifts of permission. I had to put down some questions for you guys beforehand, so I was like, have any of you guys learned ways that you really honor your nudges when, you know, you're feeling that you know, in serving your heart, having that something where you're being asked by spirit and asked by something higher than yourself to go in a direction or to follow something, anything that you guys have learned about honoring those nudges?
Well, I have a jingle for that.
You do? Go ahead, girl. Let's jingle.
What's highest and best for me? What's highest and best for you? What's highest and best for all of us? And that is what we'll do. What's highest and best for me? What's highest and best for you? What's highest and best for all of us? And that is what we'll do. Woohoo!
Woohoo! All right. Go, you go, Miss Kathy. That was awesome. It's very catchy.
I see this woman with a little duster dusting through the house with the Father Moon's best.
Well, you know, and it could be just kind of going through life, and I'm just like, it's all good, yeah. And that was a really, thank you, Kathy, that was awesome. It's that gift of a sense of permission and feeling empowered within yourself. You know, there's enough for everybody. No one has to be in a place of lack because I'm getting what I need, and I provide that. You know, I want to share that back out into the world and have it be something that can be a power for good, so that kind of thing. So I think that's part of the whole thing with permission, too, is, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, some of the old beliefs about, well, if I have, someone else is not going to be able to have, which just isn't true. You know, there's enough for everybody.
No.
Yeah, there's
there enough,
enough
for everybody
in the world.
Right?
Yeah, there totally is. I mean, over and over again, they've done all kinds of scientific experiments and stuff. It's like senses, just all different kinds of things. But, I mean, you know, food being a level of poverty in the world, there really is no reason for anyone to go hungry. We have more than enough food in the world. It's just the problem is that it's not getting distributed properly, and people don't think it is as a way of, like, everybody getting what they need. So there's gluttony in some areas and other ways, you know, and then other parts of the world, you know, there's depletion of having just the basic needs being met. So, but there's definitely enough being created on the planet. So that's just one instance of different things. Go ahead, Gloria.
There's also the level of a sense of lack on the opportunities that we receive. It's like, oh, no, I missed that opportunity. And we go into a place of lack of opportunity instead of recognizing that it's opportunity in the world that comes to us is almost like a water wheel. The wheel of life continues to bring us opportunity, and when we are ready and we reach out, that opportunity will be there. And so even if we don't choose to take and select an opportunity and act upon an opportunity that comes our way, there's always more coming. It's never
mm-hmm.
ending, and there is so much abundance of opportunity.
Well, I mean, the power of saying yes. I mean, one of the most wonderful things I've ever learned is that the universe is always saying yes. If you think negative
uh-huh.
things and then have a projection out there of things aren't going to work out, the universe just says, okay, yes, if that's what you want, okay. And, you know, so until you change your way of thinking, until you change your way of being, the universe is just continually saying yes. So it's a lot on there. I'm going to read real quick a note from the universe. This is from tech.com, and it's a daily that I get actually 5 days a week. And if you guys are interested, you can just go to TED.com and you can actually join for free. And Mike Dooley was one of the guys that was in the first The Secret movie. And he was the guy that was encouraging you to sit and close your eyes and pretend that you're actually driving the car of your dreams, and you can see your hands on the steering wheel. He's that guy. So he says, whatever you focus on, you will experience. When you talk about what is or what was, even if you're just explaining to a friendly ear, you project more of the same in the future. If you ask more than you give, thanks, you'll believe less in your own power. And if you insist that it's hard and that you're lonely, you'll find that that is true as well. You are what you say you are going to be. And yet always you can choose to focus on what's good. And it says, love the universe. So that's different kinds of things that he puts out there. And it's kind of nice because to me it's just little reminders of things that, you know, we tend to forget or we kind of put in the back burner of stuff that for being able to remember stuff. So I always like getting his messages. So any of you guys want to comment on that?
That's very well put, and it's very inspirational.
Yeah, he actually is going to, he's got three different books called Messages from the Universe, and he's going to be having those being published. So, when he originally put those together, he just put them out and he offered them for free. And he was really, living from, dime to dime at the time, but it was just something he was being nudged by the universe to just do that. And so that's basically, he followed his heart and followed what he was being guided to do. And now he's being able to make a living off of that because he gifted it first to everyone. And then they're making, making it available for people who want to have it in a hardback form. So that's very, very cool.
Very cool.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
And what was the book that he gave for free?
The books aren't free. You can buy the books, but they're called Messages from the Universe, and I think he's got different volumes of when he started writing them. But if you go to tut.com, T-U-T.com, and you go ahead and go to his website, there's a place where you can actually sign up for free and get these messages on 5 days a week.
And I will tell you, they're wonderful messages.
Since Kathy and I have known each other, I forwarded it to her, and she's been getting the messages since she signed up. So.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
Mm-hmm. And it's neat, too, because he has it programmed where your name is in the message.
Oh.
So when you're reading it, it's addressed directly to you. So it's really powerful. It says, well, Robin. Da, 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 da. And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I look around and I go, me?
Me? And, he has it too. Like, yes, if you had a program or whatever, it's like with my flower wisdom and the teaching about spirituality of flowers, I've had a couple different messages about, well, that you're a world-renowned teacher and flower wisdom is all over the world and people are being gifted by that. And I'm like, wow. It makes me feel like, oh, yeah, okay, this is so awesome. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah, I love that. So, just to give you that little encouragement every morning when you get up, it's there waiting for you, 5 days a week. So it's really, really awesome. So
that's
definitely
a good word, encouragement.
Yeah, it's very encouraging, very, very encouraging.
I think we all need
absolutely. And, that's really what's going to make the difference between being able to get through some of these more difficult times and situations is just, like, looking to one another, being able to be encouraging. I've really noticed that lately that, I wait and I've done this for a long time, but I'll hold the door for somebody when we're, like, shopping or something, and I pass through the door, but I'll look to see if somebody's near me, and I wait and I hold the door for them. And we just for a second we'll look at each other and I smile at them and they smile at me. It's just those kind gestures to one another, being respectful and knowing that you're not alone in the world. You've got people around you, and what you do affects them just like what they do affects you.
Well, that's proper manners too.
Yeah, but some of it too is just a consciousness of seeking to be connected to somebody even for just a second. Whether somebody's your waitress or waiter or somebody when you're checking out at any kind of a store, and you really look at the person as opposed to just somebody who's just, bringing you out. You've got a person in front of you. How do you interact with that person?
Okay, I'm ready to end my...
Okay. Go ahead. Okay, everybody hold on to your seats. Here we go. Lori's going to talk.
It's inflation. the other thing that's really important as far as connecting with people, when you go in and out of the stores and mm-hmm. you come outside, say, the grocery store, and there is somebody there who either wants you to sign a petition or they want money from you and they're standing there. I've watched, and there are so many people that will not look at the other people that are out there doing the soliciting or
mm-hmm.
wanting to interact with you, and it's they hide their heads, they turn around, they basically ignore these people, and it diminishes their soul to be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
They're out there doing something that they believe in, and so just giving them the recognition of interaction, saying hello, and if people, I've had people ask me if I want to donate money, and I'll say, no, thank you for offering, thank you for allowing me this opportunity, but I'll pass, but it's really great that you're out here doing it.
anything to help support them as a human being is so important because they're out there participating in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And in some ways, you know, it's me participating out in the world as well. Because I mean, whenever you see anybody interacting and doing something, in some ways, that's you in the world as well, expressing and just you know, in just a different way.
And when you positively support them, you're also supporting yourself because it makes you feel good to make other people feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was listening to go ahead, Jamie.
I have seen it like a gauntlet, though, and it is kind of, boy, and it may be the same people you see every day, especially where I'm at. It's a commercial strip, and it's the same people, you know, and you're almost in a little relationship. Oh, I know not to talk to you, but say hello or smile, you know, something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is a tough road to hoe there, although.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you'd have to have a thick skin to kind of be doing that, or you really believe in what you're doing, so.
Right.
Well, see, that's the thing, you believe in it, and it's just like, you know, there's also teachings out there that, you know, you don't really need to be worrying about protecting yourself and worrying that people are going to harm you. The best thing you can do is just send people love.
Sure.
You know, send people love and put love into their hearts and put love around them and look at them in a loving way. I think one time I remember I was walking just like out on the street, and there a whole bunch of guys were walking down the street, and they looked like they were just like looking for trouble, you know. And all of a sudden, I just saw them with angel wings.
Sure.
So they're all walking down the street with angel wings. And I go, oh, look, okay, I'm seeing them in angel wings. And they just kind of looked at me, and I just looked and smiled at them. You know, instead of coming from a place of fear, I looked at, you know, something as their divinity, of who they really are, as opposed to what they might be showing to the world out of fear. Because, you know, sometimes people will dress a certain way or try to hide the fact that they feel inadequate by their clothing or the way they act or say things. It's a matter of hiding behind something that just really isn't true, so people won't see who they really are. But if you come to the place of looking at people with their divinity, you know, there's nothing that they can need to hide about that. You just see them in their sweetness and their pure self. You know?
Well, your self-perception, it may be different than how other people perceive you, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. You know, and that's going back to affecting reality, you know, false, whether it's fictitious or, you know, whatever you're doing with that. I mean, you need to have, you know, a pair of reality glasses on, that's for sure.
But
along with that, it's like, you know, am I speaking?
You create your own reality, too, you know.
I mean,
you're all your own reality. You're on your own center of your own universe, I guess.
Right.
It can be.
Yeah.
One of the things
were your reality.
Yes, but and because it was your reality, it became theirs because that's what you were projecting. And they didn't know it, but they felt it. One of the things I like to teach is kill it with love, the concept of kill it with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
and I don't even like the word using it. Don't not even use the word kill.
I understand.
Yeah.
You can always morph it. I like to take the sayings that people are connected to, that have been anchored in, and then just change the wording so that it can change the way people think about things. So take it to the next level, please.
Oh, it's time for dessert.
Let me say my point about Mother Teresa. Okay, what are we getting? We're getting I'm voting for the double chocolate. So there you go. What do you guys think?
Double chocolate.
What else do you guys want to get? Double chocolate, yeah.
I definitely want nectarine, though, too.
Oh, okay.
I
want to
try that. Lots of forks.
Okay. Let's get a cobbler, and then we'll go ahead and get one of the chocolates. That sounds good.
Okay.
So, and maybe some kind of really nice red wine, like an after-dinner red wine to go with that. That would be good. Like a nice Merlot or something. So, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, that's on the way. But Mother Teresa was saying how, you know, if you have a gathering to promote against war, I won't come, but if it's for peace, I will be there. So a lot of it's even just the mindset of, you know, are we going against something or are we moving towards something? The energy will be very different. Even though really ultimately some people would say, well, isn't it the same thing? No, it's a totally different energy that you're seeking to attract to yourself and to the situation.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think about that?
Well,
yeah,
I think that's
really
it all.
Well,
thank you.
Definitely,
okay.
will happen.
Yeah, it's about 15 minutes, so it's time for our after dinner inspirational mint. What do you guys think? Yeah,
sure.
Do the mint. Okay, let's do the mint. This one I saw the other day from Helen Keller, and she's just was such an incredible woman, such a person of courage, that I just thought that was very, especially, I'll go ahead and read it, and then I'd like us to just kind of, you know, walk around with it a little bit. It said, when one door of opportunity closes, another opens, but often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one in which has been opened for us.
One more time.
When one door of opportunity closes, another opens, but often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one which has been opened for us.
And I have experienced that always in my life. When one door closes, another one opens.
Another door opens. And there's been times when I felt so frustrated, and I really just pray that I know. And I've even felt things closing. I'm sure a lot of people are feeling things closing, especially with where we are with a lot of things on the planet. And having a place where, you know, Spirit, help me to see that door that's opening. Or help me to understand and feel that quickening, knowing that another door is just about to open, and you know, the angels are, you know, setting everything in motion to where I know that things are happening on my behalf. And if I keep myself in a place of stillness, that it can be that much more effective and quicker because I'm not getting in the way.
And I think that also has to do with being able to adapt to, accept, and look for change in our lives based on things happening more quickly. If we're looking for and expecting change, we see the door close. If we're expecting change, we'll look for the other one faster.
Right, exactly,
yeah,
because, you know, the only thing that you can count on is change, and change is the one thing that's an inevitable thing that we can, you know, basically, you know, if I can embrace change and make it my friend and really get excited on some level instead of coming from a place of being frightened or having anxiety, maybe get excited on the level of just like, wow, I've got change going on. That means I'm growing. That means things are moving. That means that things are getting better because I'm, you know, on whatever level I'm growing. And in growing, sometimes things don't feel comfortable, but yet that too shall pass. And it's like another level of, I always think that, you know, I've really been seeing lately how we just have these new levels of our baseline. You know, I have a baseline of what I know as having things changing or not changing. I look at that baseline, okay, what was my baseline? What did it used to be when I look at a level of fear? And what's my level of fear now? In a matter of being able to say what I need to say to somebody in a loving way, and then before I couldn't even say it because I was afraid I was going to get rejected or I wasn't going to be heard, and I would just feel really bad on the fact that, you know, I wasn't able just to express myself. You know, that
right.
Baseline can be in a totally different place. Yeah.
Right, and with change going faster now, and just like we were talking about technology, adapting and changing, and it's like you expect it to be the way it is before. You know, I was growing up, and the idea of having a car phone, and it was this big static thing that looked bigger than a bread box instead of a cell phone, you know, at that time, change was much slower. So with time and technology moving ever faster, we have to adapt and adopt a new sense of how we're going to be dealing with change and learning to deal with it on a faster level, on a faster terrain is so important at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. So we're getting down to our last 10 minutes. And anything else you guys had for, like, current events or anything that you wanted to kind of bring up for us to kind of talk about, or maybe what we can bring up next time we could talk about our next show if you guys want to do that too. That might be kind of fun. Don't forget, everybody's been checking out that Nectarine Kappa, right? Yeah. Jamie, I think you've had your share, okay?
No. Yeah.
Jamie, you should have gotten two. Yeah, I think you should have gotten two. I think we still could get another one, so we might get that off the air, but you never know. We could get another one on the air. That's okay. Like, wow, we like that one. Okay, that was good. So anything else you guys are thinking about that we want to talk about? This is current, that's happening right now.
Anything in the news,
Jamie, you're just like going, wow, that's really interesting.
I went to see a 3D movie, and it cost me $12.50.
Yeah, wow.
But it was very good, though. It's the How to Train Your Dragon, but I would recommend it if anybody was interested.
Okay.
So we got
good.
A thumbs
good
up from Jamie. So our movie critic Jamie gives it a thumbs up. Okay, that's cool.
And it was
so,
definitely 3D, and they gave you a pair of glasses. I guess that's what you're paying for. Who knows?
Yeah.
Now,
was the,
that's what you're paying
was
for.
The effects really effective, or was it just, you know, like not so
well,
much it, where it was really...
It wasn't like they were throwing things at you, you know, and the spears are pointing at you and stuff like that. But, of course, I haven't seen Avatar either, so I don't know.
Oh, you have to go see Avatar. Yeah.
Yeah.
In 3D.
Yeah.
Really, anybody who hasn't seen Avatar, really, if you're at all curious, I definitely recommend going to something like that. Actually, I like to see it again. I saw it the first weekend it came out, and it really does blow you away because it's the technology and all that, but the story, it's, I mean, you know, just like anything, the things that are successful, especially when it comes to really touching us, are the stories. Because if you don't have a good story, you know, you lose your audience very quickly. So, you know how that goes. So, you know, go see Avatar. That's the Robin thumbs up, and Jamie's thumbs up with, you know, To Train Your Dragon. Okay, there you go.
Very good.
I have something to bring up.
You're going to do movie reviews. Okay, yes, Miss Kathy.
Yeah, I have not watched TV news, say for the last year. I stopped watching
mm-hmm.
it. And I
mm-hmm.
watched it the other day, and I found that it was a kinder, gentler news. And this was on
a
network station. Yeah. In the morning before, you know, before 7 o'clock. And
mm-hmm.
it was kinder and gentler. There's been a change. I'm
that's
very
good.
Glad to see that. Yeah.
Now that's because
good.
They're being censored.
Because what? Because why?
I said that's because they're being censored.
Oh, they're being censored.
My sarcastic self is coming out, but yet if you look at the trends within the reporting industry itself, over 10
uh-huh.
years ago, the Associated Press was combined. There used to be two different sources for reporting news for reporters to get their news.
The UPI, right?
I'm sorry?
UPI and AP.
Right, and then they were bought by Rupert Murdoch and merged, and so he can shape the news however he wants it to be. It used to be, when you think about the old reporters, they would go out and get on the beat, and you'd have these different points of view and conflicting stories, and you would actually get more accurate reporting, and we have now condensed it down and titrated it to a point where what we're getting is what we're being fed. It's like somebody
mm-hmm.
writing a history book. So,
it's also sound bites too. It's being compressed.
I'll stop my soapbox.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's so dangerous what a sound bite really does for people, because it's such a contrived thing depending on the real content of what was being said.
It could be taken out of context as well.
Oh,
and then,
totally, yeah,
you know.
Totally out of context.
I have a topic I would like to talk about next week.
Okay.
I would like to look at what is the positive result from the monies that are being gathered and sent down to Haiti.
Okay.
All of the advertisements that they show people coming from a place of pain, and they're tugging on people's heartstrings based upon lack and misery instead of creating in people a positive, uplifting message of this is what we're doing and this is how your money is helping and these are the strengths.
Okay, we'll look to see if the funding, because I've been personally involved with the Samaritan's Purse, and so we can talk about that a little bit this next week and then find out some of the organizations, say Blue Cross and some of the other places. I'm not sure if Blue Cross is actually involved since it's an international event. I'm not sure. It probably is. But we can go ahead and look
Red
at that.
Cross?
And
You mean Red Cross?
Red Cross.
Okay.
Yeah, Red Cross, not Blue Cross, sorry.
All right. No more after-dinner drinks for you.
I was that sick of Merlot. What can I say? Okay. That's why I have you around, Kathy. You just keep make sure that I'm staying on the path, okay? I don't get lost out of the labyrinth. The labyrinth, I stay in the labyrinth until we're ready to leave. It's okay. I might be dancing, but I'm not going to leave. It's okay. Okay, well, we'll definitely do that. Another show that we're going to be talking about, which we're all kind of excited about, is we really wanted part of this month to be dedicated to children and just all the different things that are happening for the kids on the planet. And there's just so much change and things like that going on that
I've had a few instances lately of just really seeing kids from just a different perspective and seeing how they're seeing the world from a different place. So we are going to have a few guests hopefully coming on to talk about their perspectives. One is hopefully going to be Caroline Kaufner. Is it Caroline? Yeah, Caroline Kaufner. And she's very involved with really promoting creativity and kids just having a lot of fun learning about themselves and others, you know, through the arts and things like that. So we're hoping she's going to be able to come on and talk about that. And also have a couple other people that work very, one man individual, he actually works in the school systems in LA, and he works with kindergartners and kids that are needing speech therapy, because a lot of them are almost, their telepathic abilities are so strong, they're feeling like they don't need to talk. So it's very, very interesting, some of the stuff. So I'm hoping I'm trying to see if I can get him to come on. He's a very busy guy, so we're hoping we'll be able to have him come on as well. But some interesting stories and some things going on. So it's definitely a show that we'll be doing a little later in April. So we're looking forward to that too. So, and we want to encourage anybody who's listening who has any kind of ideas that they'd like to have us be working with on the show to go ahead and do a call in, or go ahead again and to go to our show is going to be show@transformation-cafe.com, and that's our regular website that you guys can go ahead. That's the address if you want to email us, and also go to transformation-cafe.com for all different kinds of other information. We have the Transformation book, which inspired our show, that really got a lot of this going for different topics and things like that. All kinds of wonderful authors contributed their ideas and their energy to another way of healing the planet. So we encourage you to go there and to go ahead and purchase the book if you'd like. And any comments that you'd like to make about that and other authors
we
that we have on the show.
Do we get any autographs for that?
Oh, yeah, we probably could.
Ooh, good one.
You know, I was thinking about that we'll donate. We'll have people paying so they can have our autographs, and then we'll donate the proceeds to Haiti. So there you go. That's another way for fundraising. So there you go.
Added perceived value, it pays.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, you know, that's one thing that I really loved about participating in the Transformation book was everybody was really coming from just their passions in life, the things that they were giving themselves permission to really speak out in the world because they could no longer be silent about it, because it's just a love that they were being guided by spirit to just get it out into the world so people could have a different sense of awareness and consciousness about it, because we all do make a difference. We all have a voice, and when we're all willing to speak up on whatever level and let it be known, it can change the world. It literally can, by one person just really being willing to say, this is how I'm seeing it, and other people say, yeah, me too. I'm glad they said that because now I understand it in a different way. So being really grateful for that. So that'll be something that we'll be covering for that. And we'll go ahead and do a little research on where we are with the fundraising. I was curious about if they had done anything for Chile, since we've been so kind of focused on Hades. Is, you know, where is the support going for Chile and things like that? So it looks like Iceland's doing okay. You know, Iceland's getting their little tour guides going and things like that. So I think they're okay. So there you go.
I think we need one for Iceland. I've always wanted to go there.
To Iceland?
Yeah, we need to do research on Iceland.
Okay, well, there you go. That would be something else. Mr. Jamie could give us another update on that, and maybe we could get into how much it's going to cost. So there you go. There you go.
There we go.
There we go. We'll have one of our one of our reporters, Gloria, down there checking out Iceland for us and give us the link. So, okay. So make sure that you guys finish the dessert, and that other cobbler showed up. So there you go.
Look at some take home then, right?
Yes, we'll get a doggy bag going for you. So, and thank you all for coming. I just love having you be here with the show, and you guys really do make a difference. So, thank you for coming.
This has been a wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make these shows special, and we're always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by checking out the website for Transformation Cafe on blogtalkradio.com. And if you're interested in appearing as a guest chef here at the Transformation Cafe, email show@transformationcafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well. See you next time. Good night.